Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So last week we had mentioned the Flight of Fantasy online bookstore and how amazing they were. And they sent us such a beautiful package. I actually want to show some of the things that they put in this box because they loaded it up for us and it was epic. I'm not going to show everything because we did do an unboxing online. So if you want to see everything that we got, you can check out our Instagram page, our TikTok page. It'll all be on there. So I want to show you guys some of the stuff that we got. So the first thing is we got this very cute bookmark. It's an astronaut sitting on the moon and I love him. This is the fanciest bookmark I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
He's very cute, and I love him. And then, well, I guess it could be a her. I love her, because women can be astronauts, too. I love her. It's a her now.
It's been decided.
And then the book, it has been decided. Yes, women can be in space with 100 tampons.
What? Oh, I know we're talking about. No,
I was like, you don't know.
Listen, like I said, I only have three brain cells. The rest are on early weekend.
I was like, girl, I got to show you this. If you have not seen it, you are.
I have. Like, because iconic. Stupid.
Yes. So she is a lady astronaut. My lady astronaut bookmark is perfect. And it's in the book that she sent us, A Dance of Light and Shadows by Haley Davis. And this was one of their signed copies. So again, not only does she have regular books for sale that are awesome, she also has signed copies, which I feel like puts indie bookstores at an advantage versus like a big box bookstore, because I've never gone into Barnes & Noble and been like, oh, where are their signed book sections? Like, where can I go to get a signed book, right? The only time you get a signed book is if an author happens to show up at the bookstore and grab a book and graffiti it. But, like, I could go through and pick which signed book we wanted that's already on her website. So I thought that was so awesome. And inside the book was book art. So we got, like, some of the cool characters. I don't know who they are yet. I'll find out when I read the book. And then we got another bookmark for my bookmark collection. I'm going to make a video of how many bookmarks I have.
As you should.
It's a lot.
I did something similar with all of my stickers because that's a problem in itself.
Is it a problem? I got 90 problems and having too many bookmarks is not one of them. Oh, sure. And then, so there was more stuff in this box. There was more stickers, but this was a sticker I wanted to show you guys.
Aww.
I don't know who this character is yet, but I love her. Him, love them. I love this character. They're my favorite. And if they die in this book, which I don't think that they will, I will riot. So Haley Davis, I'm talking to you. Does this character survive?
I'm sure he'll be fine.
I love a good animal companion trope. Like, that's considered a trope, right?
No.
Maybe? No? I love animal companions. I'll leave it at that.
I just, like, if a character happens to have a little animal companion, I just call them a Disney princess.
Automatically, yes. 100%. So check out Flight of Fantasy Bookstore. You can go right on their website. Their website's in our show notes. And you can use GoodishGirls10 for 10% off your first order. So go. The holidays are coming. These are perfectly packaged gifts. You can literally just say to and from and slide it to your person that you want to give a gift to, and it will look as beautiful as if you wrapped it yourself or took it. I don't know if some people may be too young for this, or I don't even know if they still do this. It will look like as if you took it to a department store to have it wrapped.
Oh, department stores still do that.
Okay, I don't go to department stores very often, so I was like, I don't know if that's a thing of the past. Like a flip phone.
We love a flip. I mean, flip phones are coming back. I mean, you have like
the I new, have a flip phone.
The new version aggressive. Of a razor. Like it still has the flip, but it's also a touchscreen.
Yes. Yeah, I have the other. I have the Z Fold.
The Z Fold.
The tablet in my hands. So they are amazing. Thank you again, Flight of Fantasy, for this wonderful gift. We really love it, and we hope that everybody goes to your shop and orders lots of books, signed and or not signed, and everyone get the Lady Astronaut bookmark.
The Lady Astronaut.
Women in Space.
I really hope on her website it says, get your Lady Astronaut bookmarks here.
Yes, Lady Astronaut. Use GoodishGirls10 for your discount. I'll make a social media post with a picture of the bookmark. 10% off the Lady Astronaut. GoodishGirls10.
Save that money the holidays.
Madison, are you ready for the saddest episode we've ever written in our life?
I'm going to say this is like saddest episode part one, because I think maybe we do cover all the sad things. I think you cover the saddest thing.
I do. I wrote it. I recorded myself writing it because I wanted to document and share my emotions. It's really sad. I had a really hard time. I have never in my life not listened to that chapter or read that chapter and not cried. It gets me every single time.
Think I cried. I got emo, but I don't think I cried.
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know. I feel like the first time I ever cried over a book might be it was either the second time I was doing my Fourth Wing reread, spoiler alert, and whenever Liam dies, I think I cried. I didn't cry the first time, but I think I cried the second time. And then the first time, I don't sob, but, like, I have a little, what are they called? I don't know, like, I have just, like, a little solidary tear or something. But I don't, like, boohoo cry. But I know, like, one that did get me where I did have a few tears was, spoiler alert again, at the end of Era of Fire, the thing that happens with Dorian, I was not well.
She was not okay.
I was unwell. Sending my book bestie, because we were doing a buddy read, I was sending her a voice note, and I literally started it. I was like, you might think I'm sniffling, and I am, but it's fine. We're not going to talk about it. I'm not okay. But yeah, Dorian for sure got me. Mm-hmm. Liam might have got me first. I can't recall.
Yeah, there's only been two books that I've actually cried in.
What are your two books?
So this one, Crescent City, for sure. And then Shadow So Cruel. I cried in this book. And maybe that's a hot take. I don't know. It really got me. I had to pause and take a couple days to go back to it. Just because I wasn't expecting it. I will talk about that series every day of my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's time for
Thorn of Glass.
Yeah, it's... Those are the only two books that have, like, physically actually made me fully emotional. So, let's get into it. I'm ready to have my heart ripped out once more. Yay. Welcome to this journey. Welcome to Crescent City. Welcome to the Goodish Girls, guys. My name is Dallas.
I'm Madison.
And we are covering chapters 75 through 80 today. So, chapter 75... Rune is legit dying of boredom because he's pretty sure that the Asteri are doing it to him on purpose. And you know what? I wouldn't put it past the Asteri, honestly. Hunt, however, is on high alert. Rune is paying high attention as well to, like, everything in the surroundings, but also to Hypaxia. after he finally figured out who she was and realizing that he's been talking to his betrothed for like weeks now and he had no idea, he finally questions her on why she never said anything. So her response was that she heard rumors there was evil in the city, so she wanted to see for herself what was happening without anyone knowing who she was. She also wanted a moment to see what life was like without all of the royal fuss. And I don't blame her for this, because I feel like with all of that pressure of becoming queen and her mom dying and all these other things, I can see how she would just want to get out into the world and kind of experience it for herself a little bit without really anyone knowing who she was. So I don't blame her for that. And Rune asks a really good question to himself, and that is, can the Medwitch sense whatever was inside him that would mean he was the last to end the bloodline? And this is a reminder that this is what the Oracle said. The Oracle said, the royal bloodline will end with you, but we never really get an answer on this yet, on what that means. So we also know Jessica Roba is there, and she is also brought up on the fact that she never once during the entire summit so far looked in Queen Hypaxia's direction. Now, Jezebel used to be a witch and was defected only to join the House of Flame and Shadow, which would make sense of why they're like, well, Jezebel Roba never even looked at Hypaxia. And she also mentions that the House of Flame and Shadow thrives on chaos and death and has no issues or concerns with a long, devastating war. And the Reapers are always happy to help with the dead. And I love that energy. That's my vibe. That's my jam.
Yeah.
Yes. We thrive on chaos and death. Can you imagine just like in her like bomb ass outfit? She's like, they're like, Jessica, do you care? And she's like, the House of Flame and Shadow, the House of Flame and Shadow thrives on chaos and death. We literally don't give a shit about you guys.
I love Jessica. It's
the best. I love her.
She's a mood.
She is a mood. And she's my mood a lot. Like, I'm that mood a lot. Can relate. So, it's also then announced that Micah has been called away, and there are very few people who can actually call Micah anywhere. So, it was very interesting that he had left. So, as Therian and Sandriel are, like, arguing about the coral and the kelp beds and the importance of saving... not like just the right, like saving the planet, Hypaxia chimes in and actually calls out Sandriel so hard. And this is ballsy. And yeah. I am proud of her. Yes. And after she's done calling her out and being like, actually, like this stuff is very important and these people are important and here's why and here's like all the things, right? If you're going to speak, make it worthy, basically. So she did so. And then her and Therian quickly became friends. So, good for them. Rune, however, knew that none of this mattered. None of these arguments mattered. Nothing mattered because Sandriel and Micah would eventually get everything they wanted in the end. But it's still worth trying. You know what I mean? If you stay silent and you don't say anything, what is the point of even being there?
Mm-hmm. Silence is still a choice.
It sure is. Yes. So that is the end of chapter 75.
Wow, that was really short.
It's a really short episode. Chapter?
Yes. I was about to say, we got a lot to go through still.
Yeah, we're done, actually. Have a great day.
Hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, it's a really short chapter.
We're going to take a little break from the summit. We're going to go visit Bryce's POV for a little bit. While Jezebel is at the summit, Bryce has been spending a lot of time at Griffin Antiques and has practically been living out of the place. She swapped her nice dresses and high heels for athletic clothes. Honestly, why not? Yes. She has the mini fridge stocked with snacks, not necessarily food, but like snacks because your girl needs food occasionally.
Girl dinner.
You're not you when you're hungry. It is Snickers.
Well, I'll do that. He's like, can you please eat? Remember how it was like, can you please eat? Because you're literally so mean when you're hungry.
Listen, hangry is real.
Mm-hmm. It is. I'm so bad.
Bryce has also been canceling client appointments, and she's just waiting for Jezebel to finally, like, check the records and the cameras to figure out that that's what Bryce has been doing. Bryce also took the last Arkisian amulet from Jezebel's office, and it is the last amulet in the territory, allegedly. I don't know. I don't know if I buy that.
If it says allegedly in the book, I don't.
It doesn't
buy
say
it.
Allegedly. I say allegedly.
Oh, okay. I was like, if it says like, allegedly, has, it's probably like.
Because if Jezebel has two, I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if she has a third one tucked away somewhere.
Yeah, maybe not in the territory. Maybe somewhere else.
Maybe.
Like on the planet. Because Jezebel does travel. So I feel like she has many caches of things that are of importance and value. The it's in the details and the wording. Mm-hmm. It's not in the territory.
Again, so I'm saying I'm not buying it. After Bryce gives us a rundown of what she's been doing on Griffin Antiques, she and Lahaba have been digging through books trying to help Hunt's case. However, their perusing of books is interrupted by Micah walking in, not only Griffin Antiques, but he has let himself downstairs into the library. Bryce begins to quickly tidy up the library and tries to coerce him to go back upstairs or to even offer to ring Jezebel for him, but Micah reveals that he has actually been looking for her. But a bit in that, going back to the summit. Sandriel.
Sarah did us dirty on that one.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, even this was one of my biggest beefs in, I want to say it was Kingdom of Ash. It was like very pump the brakes. We're going to go to this character's POV. And it's like whenever someone, like, you're watching TV and someone takes the remote and turns it to their channel and off of yours. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I was watching that. Yeah. So yes, we're changing the channels and we're going back to the summit where Sandriel is going on about a new port agreement, and Jezebel receives a text message from Bryce, and Jezebel just interacting with her phone because again, everyone's bored out of their minds. Mm-hmm. Just Jezebel fiddling with her phone gets everyone's attention on her. And so as Jezebel is fiddling with her phone, she turns to Declan and asks if he is able to hook her phone up to the monitor. So he does. And not only is the monitor showing all the cameras in Griffin Antiques, but it's most importantly showing Bryce and Micah together. Everyone watches on as Bryce is again gathering wine and cheese for Micah. And it is Bryce's next text that has Hunt's blood running cold. And Bryce simply sends to Jezebel, help. And she's staring into one of the cameras that's hidden in one of the books on the shelves, and he can very clearly see the fear and panic on her face. Rune then orders an ox unit to head towards Griffin Antiques to help them out. Changing the channels again, going from the summit back to Bryce.
Again, whiplash is what I'm getting.
Exactly. As they're obviously done in the library, so Micah comments on all the banned books in the library and comments on how it is a one-way ticket to an execution. Micah says that the books here are supposed to only exist in the Asteri archives because they disprove the superiority of Vanir and Asteri. And then this is a quote that he says. He says, all the knowledge of the ancient world, of a world before Asteri, theories from a world in which the Vanir are not your masters. He also reveals, based off of the surroundings and what he pieced together, is that the library that they are in is the Great Library of Parthos. And we kind of heard about Parthos in previous chapters, and I was like using the map to put all the puzzle pieces together. I'm like, you know what? This does make sense. But we learn, now that we know that this is the Great Library, that within this library, there are 2,000 years worth of knowledge before the Steer even exist. He also comments on the Arkisian amulet that Bryce wears and says that it is the same symbol the priestesses used to wear in the temple. He also comments just a little bit more of history on Parthos, saying that during the first war at Parthos, human armies made their last stand against the Vanir to buy priestesses time to grab vital volumes and escape. During this, Bryce knows that she can get killed for having these books, and she's essentially trying to deflect Micah saying, listen, I just work here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just simple girl with job.
The amount of times people would ask me questions at work, I'm like, I just work here.
Yeah, I literally don't know. I don't make the rules. I just sell art.
That's above my pay grade. So she's trying to deflect, and Bryce is doing what she does best and kind of keys into people's interpretations of her, not her actual character. So she's trying to throw him off by saying that if Micah's here with her, then the summit must be really boring. She's not off the mark on that comment. But she tries to deflect him more and says, you're not here to ask me out again, are you? And he says, as you once said to me, I'm not interested. Have a seat. We might as well be civilized about it. And Bryce is like, be civilized about what? And that is when Micah reveals that she is going to give him Luna's horn.
Dun, dun, dun. Ba, ba, ba.
Listen, these, wild. Like, next chapters, my brain, mm-hmm. like, short-circuited so much.
Oh, no, definitely. This is where a lot of, like, everything comes to light. Lots of truths are revealed. Lots of, like, strings are being tied together. It's wild.
Yes, and we're gonna get into literally everything, but I kind of have a little bit of beef in this chapter. I'm gonna go through all the information, and then I'm gonna revisit my beef.
Okay, beef on pause.
Beef on pause. And that's on beef. So, Micah figured out that Bryce knows what Danica did with the horn a few days ago when he also found out. He knew the truth when Bryce gave over her amulet to Sandriel. Even though Micah was not present, like it's always said in the book, cameras are everywhere. So, whenever Bryce gave over her amulet to Sandriel, the Crystallis demon attacked Bryce only after she had taken off that necklace. Before, never really cared for Bryce. And that is because Bryce essentially is the horn because of her mm-hmm. tattoo. The tattoo is in the language of universes and is essentially written directions on how to activate the horn. Micah says that he plans on putting power into the tattoo to use the horn through Bryce. Which, go ahead, you had a thought.
Yeah, okay, I'm glad you saw my face. This reminded me of when, like, that classic movie where the villain finally shows himself and then he's like, here's my entire evil plan.
And that is my beef.
I'm gonna do A, B, C, D, E, F, D, and then I'm gonna kill you, right?
I hate villain dialogues where he's just like,
I love villain dialogue. That's so funny. Because like, why are you telling me your plan? You're lame.
Like, I feel like it wouldn't have bothered me if, well, it is a really, like, it's ridiculously long dialogue, and he goes through everything, which I appreciate because we get all of our answers, but, mm-hmm. like, not only does he say all the things, but then Bryce is like, yeah, I knew, and I'm like, you keep secrets from your friends and colleagues, but, like, why are you keeping secrets and from your readers? Like, I'm like, we could have, I mean, some stuff, like, we did know, he just didn't click until now, until it's, like, actually mm-hmm. revealed and they're holding our hands. But I'm like, yeah. Why not tell us?
Yeah, let us know, right?
Yeah.
No, but that's why we need the evil villain dialogue. I need to know the evil villain's plan. I love it. It's like a comfort story.
I'm okay with knowing Micah's plan in the sense of you're the horn and my plan is to activate the horn through you by essentially charging mm-hmm. you up with my power and he says a little bit later why he's gonna do that. But like that, okay. But we're mm-hmm. literally going all the way back to the beginning and like going through every single thing. But we could have known. Because Bryce knows.
She did know.
She kept everyone out of the loop.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. She did keep everybody out of the loop, but I don't know if I... No, I probably... I want to say, I don't know if I would have made a different choice, but I know I would have because I'm not good at keeping secrets.
I mean, she can keep secrets, but, like, at least let the readers in on it.
Yeah, the inner thought should have said something.
Yeah, like, girly pop, talk in your head.
Yeah, let us know, please. Hello? I would like to know the tea.
Yes,
I will sign NDA. Tell me. Yes, okay. Yes, evil villain dialogue. I am here for it. Continue.
And that is my beef. But, anywho. Beef
patty seared.
Okay.
Every time you say I have beef, I think of a hamburger. Every time.
Okay, that's valid.
That's valid. So, like, beef patty done.
I'll let it slide. I'll allow it.
Okay, good.
But, essentially, villain monologue, we're gonna get all the little pieces. So, we know that Micah is going to use Bryce, who is the horn, to do something. Micah admits to killing Danica in the pack. We learn that he was an investor in Redner Industries and had access to the experiments. And we know from Bryce and Hunt's perspective some of the trials that were going down with synth and how people react to certain dosages. That's a word. We also learn a little bit more into Danica's involvement because Bryce and Hunt only saw a little bit of the picture. We learned that Danica tracked down Ophian rebels who experimented with a formula for synthetic magic. And Bryce essentially asks, and I'm going to read from the Bible as soon as I find my page again. So Micah's like, you do know what Danica did for Redner? And she's like, yeah, she was security intel. And Micah's like, that's what she wanted you to think. So we learn that Danica used her security clearance to steal footage from the trials, and I suspect she left it for you. We also learn from Micah, and he says she made no secret that she kept an eye on the synth trials because she was keen to find a way to help her weak, vulnerable, half-human friend. You who would inherit no power, she wondered if it might give you a fighting chance against the predators who ruled this world. And when she saw the horrors the synth could bring about, she became concerned for test subjects, concerned for what it'd do to humans if it leaked into the world. But Redner's employees said Danica had her own research there too. No one knew what, but she spent time in their labs outside of her own duties. So we also learn, through all of this information, that Danica was never on boats to be a synth dealer. So essentially we also learn that Micah needed someone with unrestricted access to the temple to take the horn. And so that is where Danica came into play, and he essentially blackmailed Danica into taking the horn for him. So we learn also in this moment that Micah is the one who caused the blackout and had Danica steal the horn. After that had happened, he killed Danica for hiding the horn from him before he could use it to summon armies from other universes to take down the human rebels. Essentially, that night that the pack died, Micah himself disabled the pack before injecting Danica with the synth and had her turn on herself and essentially kill herself. Not only did he do that, he does more. He also taunted the Autumn King into searching the horn, which led to Rune being put on the case, because as we know from previous chapters, the Autumn King kind of was concerned for the horn because he's like, it's the Fae, it's been in our history, like, it's about time the Fae, like, get some recognition for, especially, like, Luna's Temple, as we learned, there's, like, very little nods to the Fae lineage. So Micah's also the one that essentially had Rune put on the case. Rune realizes that every time he went to search for the horn, he was always drawn to Bryce. And he and Hunt have a little mind-to-mind conversation through his... They don't say he's Daimati, but we know he's Daimati. Rune says, I thought it was the gallery, some knowledge in there. but it was her. Your starborn connection to her in the horn must have overcome even the masking power of the Arkizine amulet, Hunt answered. Mm-hmm. That's quite a bond, Prince. And I'll say more on that later, because I have an interesting theory. We also learn that, essentially, as we know from all of the murder cases, as they were trying to figure out attacks from the Crystallos, we learn that certain patterns did not line up. So, we also learn that Micah injected all of the victims with synth so that they would also rip themselves apart. Mm-hmm. Which, dude, not cool.
And that's nuts. Like,
that's nuts. It's not cool. Because it's also, like, whenever people thought that the Crystallos demon killed the two CCU students outside the temple, no, that was mm-hmm. that was Micah.
It almost makes me feel bad for the Crystallos demon. Like, yes, I know he did bad things, but, like,
poor justice little guy, for the Crystallos.
Like, yeah, justice for the Crystallos demon, okay? He didn't do half of the things that he said that he did. He deserves a break.
Wow.
I know he did bad things, but also, Micah set him up.
But he didn't do all the things.
He didn't do even half of the things.
Yeah. Remind me to share the reel with you that I made. Because it involves Micah and the Crystallos and very much this vibe.
Yes. He was framed.
He was framed. We also learned that Micah was the one that also caused the bombing and the White Raven to also kind of throw people off of his trail to be like, oh, could have been the rebels, because again, it did have the rebels symbol on it. He also realized that the horn might be Bryce when the Crystallos demon attacked Hunt after he had touched Bryce's jacket. And Bryce mm-hmm. was essentially invisible to the Crystallos whenever she wore the Arkizine amulet. So, yeah. Once monologue is over, Micah actually does inject Bryce with the synth in order to fix the horn. Again, not cool, bro. Mm-hmm. Not cool. As Micah approaches Bryce to power up the horn in her, she throws a book that casts a gold orb around her, essentially protecting her from Micah. However, Micah's like, you want to be difficult? Fine. Let's up the stakes. This is where my stress level went from 0 to 100.
Oh, 100%.
He changes directions instead of going towards Bryce to going to where Syrinx is. He picks up... I hate this part so much. He mm-hmm. grabs Syrinx and he throws him into the feeding hatch of the Nox Aquarium.
Bro.
And if you thought...
This chapter...
But don't worry, it gets worse, because not only is not only is Syrinx in the water with the Nox, but Sarah's like, you know what'd be fun? To just, like, throw in the fact that Syrinx can't swim.
Bro cannot swim.
I feel like...
It's...
I mean, I've never known... I know, like, he's a lion, dog, cat thing, but, like, I've never met a dog who can't swim, personally, but I feel like, you know how babies... Like, there's the thing, like, if you, like, at a certain age, if a baby falls into water, like, they have that automatic reflex that's like, oh, they're just gonna float and they'll be fine. I feel like Syrinx should also have that reflex.
I would hope so, but Sarah did not give that to us.
Because Syrinx is baby, and baby should know how to swim.
Baby should know how to swim. Baby does not know how to swim. Baby's drowning. Nox knows it. And Micah knows it.
I was stressed, and I was this close to putting this book down, and I was even texting my friend as I was reading this chapter, and I was like, if Syrinx dies, I'm done.
Oh, for sure, yes.
Like, any movie or book, if Animal dies, bye.
Okay, have you seen the new Jurassic Park?
With Jonathan Bailey?
With Scarlett Johansson.
Jonathan Bailey is also in it.
Oh, okay. I just know Scarlett Johansson.
I was going to say Scarlett Johansson, but I was like, is she in it? But I know Jonathan Bailey is
She's
it
because he's the wearing
slutty little glasses.
Oh, yes, that man. That guy. Did you watch it?
No. I'm, like, always late to watching new things. Like, I think even up until, like, a couple years ago, like, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I finally watched the one with Chris Pratt, which is just
hilarious.
I love his training techniques.
It's, yes, from Animal Training Experience. It's a whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yes. He does a good job.
Good job. It's just, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. It's spot on. So anyways, in the new Jurassic Park, there is a teeny, teeny, tiny dinosaur. And she's so cute. And her name is, they name her Dolores.
Oh, I do remember that. Because I think Dolores was on a red carpet, I think, for like the movie premiere.
Oh, that's cute. Okay, and I watched the movie, I literally looked at my husband and I said, if Dolores dies, I'm not watching the rest of this movie. I will turn it off and I will send a strongly worded email. Absolutely not.
As you should.
But it was the movie was a vibe. I had a fun, good, silly time. But it gave the same, it was giving the Fast and the Furious where they sent Ludacris to space in a car.
I haven't seen Fast and Furious.
Okay, well, they send Ludacris to fucking space in a car.
Because that's realistic. Where
they lost me. They lost me entirely. I was like, what do you mean? Why did we go from like this super serious series where like we have family, right? And Vin Diesel's in there. Into like, Ludacris is going to space.
I mean, have you never been to space in your car?
Never. I'm not Ludacris. But yes, the new Jurassic Park was a fun, goofy time where I felt like Ludacris was going to space all over again. And the main star was not Scarlett Johansson or Man with Glasses. It was actually Dolores.
Respect on Jonathan Bailey's name, okay? He's awesome.
I forgot it. I don't know his name.
Anthony Bridgerton. He is Fiero and Wicked, Dancing Through Life.
Oh, really?
Mindless and Careless.
Oh, wow. I didn't get that reference. I saw it. Wow. Okay, well.
Man in
Glasses, Jonathan Bailey.
And this is going to be old news by the time this comes out, but he's also this year's sexiest man alive.
Oh, my God. Wow.
R.I.P. to Sebastian Stan not getting it once again.
Who's that?
He's Bucky Barnes. My sweet little angel boy. Oh, okay.
I don't know people's, like, real names. That's the problem. Like, someone will introduce themselves. I don't know. There's got to be a condition for it. Someone will introduce themselves and be like, hello, my name is. And then they'll tell me their name. And then I immediately forget their name.
So that's valid because I'm also awful with names, great with faces. I can't tell you how many times whenever we work together and like my first few days, they'd be like, okay, who's that person? Who's that person? I'm like,
I don't think
you understand how many people within my group look the same.
Mm-hmm. And they're all wearing, where we work, they're all wearing the same thing.
All the same uniform.
They're all wearing the same outfit with
depending
the same
on
hats.
The trend, sometimes the same hairstyle. Same hat.
Yes. Same hats. You know what I did?
Hmm.
I learned all of their walks.
That's.
I learned that's how every single person on that team walked. And also, and I started during like. Right post COVID, so everyone still had to wear masks, so I couldn't see their faces anyway, so yeah. I was like, I don't know who that is. So I literally learned every single way that each person walked on my team. This chapter, I think, brings together so many things that we have talked about, right? Like, I know, and like we went off on like the villain tangent and stuff, but there's so many things, right? Yeah. So like, we now know why Danica talked to the human rebels. We know why the tattoo was in her back. Like, we know so many different things. And then we know, obviously, that, like, Danica had the synth injected into her and that she killed her own pack and then she turned on herself. So, like, it just answers so many questions. And we have talked previously in episodes, like in our theories and lore area, that we can now bring to the front page of, like, was there red flags in Micah that we missed originally? And I say, yeah, obviously, yes, because who on earth goes to a crime scene and immediately gets rid of the evidence?
See, I feel a like... criminal. Who does guilty. Criminal things? A criminal.
Felony.
I feel like whenever I read Crescent City, it was, like, very early into my fantasy adventure, and so that was, like, back in the day whenever I just read for fun, and I was very much, like, in the back seat, just living life. But now,
yeah.
I overthink so much. Like, mm-hmm. even I started Brimstone and, or not, yes, no.
No.
Silver.
I say, did you? Because I don't have a copy. Did you get an arc?
Listen, again, we're working with three brain cells. Whenever I started Quicksilver, like, literally the first page after the dedication, that's the word. After
the dedication. Because page one.
Well, no, I have a point. So, literally the first page after the dedication is, like, remember everything you read, something, like, there's a war.
Commit all you read to memory.
Yes. And I was, like... So how soon should I be overthinking? Because I have not just, like, enjoyed a book in so long, especially whenever it comes to fantasy. I'm, like, trying to put together the puzzle before, like, things are revealed. Especially because of this lady right here, Rebecca Yaros.
I have an answer for you.
What?
You asked, how much should I overthink this book? The answer is
yes.
100%. The entire book. Because that's overthink it all.
Fantasy is you must overthink.
Yes.
You can't be a backseat driver. You just have to, like, yeah.
The devil's in the details. That's literally Kelly Hart's, like, motto within Quicksilver. Also, she said it in the interview with her. The devil's in the details.
I was, like, very selective with what I listened to because I was very scared I was going to get spoiled. But you know how she said that she based the cover off of Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, also trying to think of, like, other Star Wars nods, and it's someone that I can't remember who it was. They're obviously not relevant, but I want to say Saris was the one that did it, and she, like, cut off someone's hand, and I was like, is that another Star Wars reference?
Where are you at in this book now?
Not far.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything then, because
the last thing that happened is that I met Everlane, and she says she told Saris to take a shower because she stank, and also her father requested her audience. So it's mm-hmm. before she meets that, and someone, I can't remember his name right now, was like, he needs his necklace back. And
he does.
I don't know it yet, but it made me think of, like, in Fourth Wing, whenever Zayden has to go take a little puff puff pass outside because he's trying to, like, block out the bond and emotions. I'm like, is a necklace kind of also working like that? Like, he can't help it? He can't contain himself? Because I know from the back of the book that Saris, like, unknowingly... I don't know the word I would use. I was going to say chains herself, but that's aggressive. You know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just
I'm, like, not saying anything right now.
And you shouldn't, because
I'm struggling right now. So bad.
Let me say something. Also, whenever I was telling my friend, like, I haven't read it, and I'm going to, and she's like, all you need to know is, like, Carrion Swift. And I'm like, I've heard of Kingfisher, but not Carrion. I don't know much about Carrion, but as of right now, and he better not break my heart, but I like his vibes. I get it, because I'll always see people do posts where it's like, you have to choose which table to sit at, or, like, what airplane aisle seat to sit in. And there was one, it was like, again, I didn't know who Carrion was, but one option was Cassian, Carrion, and Riddick. That would be a party. I mm-hmm. like, I would lose my mind. Because I'd be like, can we be serious for a moment? But, like, honestly, that'd be a vibe. I would have a ball.
That is a vibe. That is a vibe. Just wait. I have so many things I want to say that I can say.
I will keep you updated. And I know whenever we recorded with Nikki, I said that I'll send you a TED Talk. Again, I haven't read much. And I promise I will send a TED Talk because I told you I would send you TED Talks and give you an introduction whenever we were recording with Nikki. But I feel like I haven't read enough to be like, TED Talk time.
Mm-hmm. You'll get there. I'm waiting. I'm waiting patiently, and I'm proud that you're reading it, and I appreciate it, and I'm so excited to hear all of your thoughts.
Thank you. The war is over. I'm reading it. Everyone can calm down. The war is
just beginning.
Not the literal prepare for war.
I'm proud of you.
Overthink.
It's so good, though. It's such good overthinking.
I'm just ready to learn more. Like, I know I'm supposed to really like Kingfisher because he's, like, the new... Also, I know Jamie was like, oh, if you liked Emo Dory, then you're gonna love Kingfisher. Mm-hmm. He kind of, at this point, and, like, again, I only know... I think he might have only said one sentence to Saris where he's like, if you die, like, I'm gonna be disappointed or something. And I was like, that's not very emo Dorian of you, but I could very much, like, A, Taryn, but if we want to stick with Throne of Glass, he's, like, guy version of Manon.
I'm struggling so bad.
Lock it down.
We have to move on, or I'm going to say something. I'm going to spill some beans. I'm going to say some spoilers. And I will
rip out my earbuds.
We have to move on. Okay. I can't. Otherwise, back I'm going to spill the secrets.
Bye, Quicksilver. Hello, Crescent City. We're stressed. We're with Sinks. We're stressed. But also kind of going back to the comment where I was like, Sarah decided to add the fact that Sinks can't swim. It reminded me of that audio from Diary of a Wimpy Kid where Rally is just like, don't talk to me. Don't come by my house.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Sarah
did us dirty with this.
Don't talk to me.
These couple of chapters are, like, brutal. Heart-wrenching. So, yes, they are brutal. They are awful. Sirix can't swim. What happens next?
So, not only are we worried for Sirix at this time, but also Bryce and Micah are literally battling it out. And Micah blasts Bryce with his power, knocking her on her stomach, essentially exposing her back to him. He has Bryce pinned to the floor, and she tries to reach for any book that she can reach, hoping that one of them will help her. And we kind of get a little list of titles. So we hear books called The Divine Numbers, The Walking Dead, which I always find that super duper funny. The Book of Breathings, and also The Queen with Many Faces. So as they're kind of fighting it out, we also learn that whenever Micah, at this point, he has blasted power into the horn, which is essentially blasting Bryce, we learn that nothing happened. And he was like, interesting. Maybe I try cutting it out of you instead. So as Micah's like, I'm gonna do this, we get some more revelations from Bryce, and we learn from Bryce, again, she knows these things, she could have told us sooner, but she didn't. Bryce says that she figured out the tattoo was a horn hours after the Crystallis attacked her, and she was looking at the tattoo in the mirror because it was not in the alphabet of Midgard, which I was like, we know, because even like in the very beginning of the book, she mentions it, and people ask, like, oh, what does your tattoo say? And she's like, I don't know, my friend did it, but probably through love all is possible. So I'm like, yeah,
probably
we've been new, and the fact that you, like, why weren't we concerned about trying to figure out what is on our back?
Yeah, I get that. I think it was just because Danica gave it to her, right? So, like,
probably, but I would still want to know what's inked on my skin, because I remember, like, talking tattoo horror stories, and I think, I don't know if one of my teachers, like, knew said person, or they just, like, heard story from, like, I knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy who knew this guy's cousin, of of this guy who essentially, like, got a tattoo of a barcode, and it was supposed to, like, be, I forgot what his intention was, but someone's like, oh, I'm gonna scan it, and it was a barcode for tampons, and he's like, that's not what I wanted. Yeah. Oh. So I'm like, maybe.
Ouch.
Also, like, because I think the topic came up is because she was a world history teacher, and we were in, like, going through the different Chinese dynasties and going through all of their symbols and what each symbol means. And she was saying, like, yeah, a lot of people get Chinese symbols tattooed on their skin, and people will claim it means this thing. And they're like, actually, that means something different. So again, maybe learn what your symbols mean.
Yes, and I don't disagree. I think she just had so much faith in Danica. She was like, okay, well, Danica said that, so that's what it is, and I'm going to move on with my life.
See, but I feel like if it was me, if I was Bryce, I'd be like, yes, I trust my friend. This is probably what it means. But I feel like, especially since she got her history, since she got her major, again, three brain cells, since she got her degree in history and, like, art history and all that jazz, I would think that she would not be obsessed, but, like, very intrigued of, like, oh, I have this ancient text on my back. I would really like to learn and, like, use my degree to figure out, like, what it means, where this language originated from, and, like, maybe learn other words and symbols in this said language, because art history, cool.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I think that would have been a better choice. Definitely.
Probably. But
yes,
we also learn that while Bryce was looking into Danica's last known locations, she also noticed that the tattoo shop was the only location that went unchecked. And we know this because it was mentioned, I think, like, three times in previous chapters, this tattoo shops and the fact that no one checked it.
Not again, one person.
Angel police, not good.
Angel police, hello? The 33rd? Are you there?
So, also through Bryce, we learn that she's kind of putting the pieces together and saying that her attack of her being attacked by the Cristallos kind of lines up with Hunt being attacked in the sense that the Cristallos attacked Hunt because he had touched Danica's jacket right before it happened. And what did Danica's jacket have on it? Essence of the Horn. Also, in a sense, because Bryce is a Horn, I feel like just being around Bryce already puts a target. Like, I don't think he would have had to have touched the jacket, but I think the jacket, like, might have added a little extra oomph. You know?
I want to say yes, but I also feel like maybe not only because the necklace was blocking it completely, right?
True.
So, like, and it's the, like, the necklace, like, created a bubble around her. So, like, anything out of that bubble then was, like, seeable. So that's why I would say no.
That makes sense. I like it, Picasso. So Micah does blast the Horn, aka Bryce, with power again. And essentially, as everyone is watching back at the summit, they see that Bryce uses one of the books to knock Micah away into one of the bathrooms downstairs, and then Lahaba uses another book to essentially lock him inside. So Bryce used one to knock Micah over there. Lahaba used the second book to lock him inside. As this is going down, Hunt begs Sandriel to help, even though he knows that she's probably not going to get there in time if she did do something, because if she flew there, it would take about an hour. If she took a helicopter, it would take 30 minutes. Also, like, it kind of blew my mind. I'm like, makes sense that helicopter would be, like, a little bit faster, but I'm like, how fast or slow do angels fly?
Oh my God, I was literally just thinking that, and I was like, how the fuck is a helicopter faster than a literal angel?
Yeah.
With wings. No, make it make sense. I don't like it. That, and I think it's because the helicopter takes us out of fantasy land.
Maybe.
And then, like, how fast can an angel fly? They don't give us any numbers. I think it's just
because, like, statistically, like, comparing statistically airplanes
with the angels.
Well, like comparing airplanes to helicopters, like people don't use airplanes for med evacs and whatnot. They use a helicopter because it's faster. That's and also true. You don't have to have clearance to land. Like, you don't need a mile to land a helicopter as you would an airplane. You just need a little patch of place.
Yeah. Okay, then so maybe we compare angels and their speed to that of a aircraft.
Maybe. Slower like, than a helicopter. I don't see them flying as fast as a fighter jet. But, like, I feel like they could keep up with a helicopter.
Maybe they're, like, maybe not Spirit Airlines. Maybe they're, like, Delta.
Oh, jeez.
Hee-hee. Who knows how fast an angel flies? Not as fast as a helicopter.
Apparently. Some now we know. Helicopters are fast, but, like, some of the bigger helicopters, I'm raising questions. But, anywho... This part also, like, aside from the flying, this part also gets on my nerves a little bit because as they're watching Bryce, they're watching as she's hyperventilating and Hypaxia is like, what is she doing? And Therian's like, oh, she's hyperventilating so that whenever she goes into the water, she'll have, like, more air stored in her lungs or whatever. Don't do that. That is not safe practicing. It's not, because, like, even
whenever... No, I know, I just love it that you're like, actually, guys, for safety purposes, for legal purposes, dude, this is not a joke.
Don't
not
do home. It. Because, like, even whenever I was getting my free diving certification, someone asked, like, oh, on movies or TV shows, like, you see people hyperventilating before they go for a free dive. And my instructor was like, yeah, don't do that. Just, like, take time, practice belly breathing, and, like, slow your heart rate, calm your nerves, because... all diving is it's all a mental game, not so much on breathing. So if you're gonna go diving, don't hyperventilate. That's silly.
Yes, that's a really bad idea. Don't do it.
So as Bryce is doing silly thing to prepare to go into the water where the knock is to retrieve Syrinx, Flynn murmurs that this is Bryce's ordeal. That also kind of was a like, because I'm like, so many things have happened.
Can you remind the listeners what an ordeal is? Because it's been a hot minute since we've talked about what an ordeal is.
So essentially in fae culture, you go through a rite, and the rite has two parts. One of it is an ordeal, and your ordeal could be anything as simple as overcoming an illness or fighting a monster like a Midgardian worm. And, like, also, it's not... Flynn's ordeal. Like, I feel like if anyone's gonna be like, oh, this is my ordeal, it'd be Bryce. But I'm like, so many things has happened to homegirl. I'm like, why is this one thing? Like, why is fighting Micah not her ordeal? But it's going in with the knock. Or maybe he was saying, like, the whole thing is her ordeal.
Yeah, no, I think he's saying the whole experience is her ordeal. For, like, I feel Micah, like the knock, placement
of... like, her about to go in, and he's like, oh, this is her ordeal. I'm like, there's more happening than just this moment.
No, I get what you're saying. I guess it could be either or, right? He could be saying either or, but I feel like if they, like, to change the scene, right, to go from, like, the gallery in back into the summit halfway through, right before Micah went to the bathroom and she jumped in, I don't know if that would have been good placement in writing. So I feel like we finished that scene and then went back to the summit and then he's like, this is her ordeal.
Or I feel like the it recap could have of it. Been placed maybe in the very beginning whenever Bryce is like fixing the cheese and the wine and she like looks into the camera and types to Jezebel help. I feel like that also could have been a moment where Flynn or Deck or someone could be like, oh crap, like this is her ordeal. Like before it all even happens. I think
yeah, I mean been... maybe. That I think that could have been a possibility, for sure. So, now we're in chapter 79.
I don't wanna...
God, I hate chapter 79.
This is the end of the podcast. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.
It literally kills me. All right, here we go. All right. So, Bryce is in the water with a knock, right? And Micah is currently locked in the bathroom by magic. Syrinx is at the bottom, completely lifeless. Because, again, he cannot swim. As... Bryce is swimming down to Syrinx. The knock, obviously, starts coming after her. So she, they fight underwater. It's a whole thing. Eventually, she does get Syrinx to the surface, and she throws him out, and she tells Ahaba to do chest compressions on him.
We love that. That's accurate.
Yes. I don't know how a fire sprite does chest compressions that is this big, but it does. It goes into its fantasy box, and we move on. We accept it. So the knock then takes Bryce back down, like grabs by the foot. She's down. The attack on her went on for a while, right? And everyone at the summit, again, is watching because there's cameras literally everywhere. There's no microphones or anything, but there's cameras. And so, like, they can see her and witness all of the craziness that is going down. It kills me. So, Bryce was then finally able to escape the beast and started swimming to the top. Everyone at the summit has been holding their breath as she's swimming because she's swimming and swimming and swimming. It's like a really deep tank. And so everyone's, like, paused as she's trying to make her way to the top. She finally makes it and breaches the surface. Because the knock cannot touch the surface because it would die, like, even if a hand can't go above the surface or it causes him physical pain, he goes back under the water. Bryce then took over and started chest compressions on Syrinx. And she knew this whole time that Micah was about to break through the door, but she kept pressing on Syrinx's chest. She was not giving up, even though Micah was literally about to show up. Once Syrinx started coughing and he coughed up all the water, she then takes the time to put on a new shirt and she grabs him and starts running up the stairs. Her calf is actively bleeding at this point and healing slowly because the knocks got her to the bone. So she's, like, injured. She's sopping wet. She's holding Syrinx, who's a heavy animal, and she's trying to make it up these stairs, right? So as she's on the way, we kind of zip back to the summit really quickly, and the Autumn King yelled for her to leave the Chimera at the TV. He's like, leave it. Leave the Chimera. No, bro. You don't know her. You don't know anything about this Chimera or Bryce or anything. So shut up. Stop talking. We don't want your opinion. I'm so emotional about this chapter. So we all knew, obviously, Bryce would never let that happen. She couldn't hear him anyways. It doesn't matter. Like, stop wasting your breath, Autumn King. So Bryce turns around and realizes that Lahaba is not with them. She said, Lahaba, like, forget the books and run. Like, we're leaving. And Lahaba wasn't staying down to get the books. She stayed there for an entirely different reason. She knows that Bryce won't make it in time for Micah to get out of the bathroom. She tells her that they have to try anyways, but Lahaba knows that she can help Bryce and how she can help Bryce. Bryce then tells her she is fucking free and she traded with Jessica last week but wanted to wait and throw her a party to celebrate and have it be a fucking surprise, and I fucking hate this chapter. And also, Lahaba fucking knew that it was happening because she peeked in the goddamn drawer. She knew that she was free and she knew that Bryce was waiting to throw her a party. She is a free sprite and her first act of fucking freedom was to help her friends. So Bryce told her that she loved her and Lahaba will always love BB and told her to go. Lahaba then took the last moment she had left to do the one thing she knew would slow Micah down. She summoned all of her powers in her little tiny sprite body, and she said, I am a descendant of Ranthea Drawl, Queen of Embers. She is with me now, and I am not afraid. My friends are behind me, and I will protect them. Bryce locked the door on the way out to the showroom floor. Everyone else is still watching the library. Like, they're all still downstairs. So Bryce is upstairs, the door is closed, she can't see what's going on. Repeating over and over again, I'm a descendant of Ranthea Drawl, Queen of Embers. She is with me now, and I am not afraid. My friends are behind me, and I will protect them. She then blasts her power into the tank and threw herself in it to make it break open, repeating again and again and again, my friends are with me, and I am not afraid. My friends are with me, and I am not afraid. This everything about this chapter literally kills me.
Yeah.
I hate how emotional it makes me. So people in the room, in the summit, start to stand with their hands on their hearts. The only thing that they could give Lahaba. Everyone but Sandriel. Fuck you, Sandriel. Piss me off. Lahaba, even, like, she's pushing, even though she was shaking with fear, but her friends were with her and she was not afraid. Micah eventually got through and Lahaba sneered at him and screamed at him, this is for Syrinx. And thousands of gallons of water crashed down on them both. It literally gets me every time. I hate this fucking chapter.
And not only... So... Now, like, that's the end of 79. And so now we're going into theories and lore. So now I can say this.
Oh, no, we got chapter 80.
Oh, my bad. Continue. I got a whole other chapter. Listen, the trauma... I'm just like...
It was a lot!
We're done.
I didn't want to end on that note.
Honestly, that's valid, but I'm like... Please.
This chapter killed me. So, end of chapter 79. We do have chapter 80. Bryce knew that the tank exploded, and Lahaba and the Nock were gone. Syrinx was alive and in her arms, thankfully. As the alarms are going off, she starts crawling to the front door, with the synth pulsing through her veins. But she did not go through the door because Lahaba did not buy her time to escape, but for something else, right? Like, she could have crawled away. She could have just went out the door and ran. But that's not why Lahaba gave her life. Everyone was now watching the main floor because Bryce was now sprinting across the room and up the stairs. And she was only doing that because she still had the synth in her body and it was helping her recover. She immediately went for the Godslayer rifle because she was going to revenge for killing Danica and the pack and Lahaba and all of the other things, right? So we've talked about the Godslayer in the past in previous episodes, like this gun, it's in a couple different pieces, it's on the wall, it's a huge thing, right? So Bryce put the gun together and drank a potion from the safe and grabbed a golden bullet that said, "Memento Mori, remember that you will die." And we also remind you that she was Randall Salago's daughter, basically, adopted daughter. And she knew how to put a gun together like it was second nature. Micah was headed up the window, and Bryce took the 2 seconds that Lahaba gave her and sacrificed her life for. There was no escaping Micah, so she was given 2 extra seconds to kill him. So she aimed the gun and shot the bullet right through Micah's fucking head.
As she should.
As she should. Goddamn, I hate these chapters. These are the worst. Like, I love this series, but I don't like when books make me feel things, okay? I don't like it.
I mean, I do, because it's trauma bonding. I do, but I don't. I hate it in the moment, but then afterwards I'm like, time to make someone else read it and suffer with me.
I like it, except for the fact that we are deep diving this, so I had to re-listen to it a lot of times, and also, like, re-trauma myself many times. Yeah, I mean, but that's it. I'm not doing any. That is chapter 79. That will be the last time that I ever read or talk about that chapter. That's it. That's it from me, you guys.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore.
I did not reread that chapter. I'm like, that's Dallas's notes. She can read it.
Yeah, I took it. I took the chapter. It's my favorite one and my least favorite one at the same time. Ooh, so that's it. That's all I had. Like, those chapters alone, I think, brought so much into light. It gave us so many answers on all the questions that we had. I don't even have anything for theories of lore today. Like, that was a ton of information. Info dump for sure.
Yeah, I have lore. I don't have any new theories.
What is your lore? Tell me your lore so I can recoup before we say goodbye.
This isn't going to help you recoup at all.
Oh, great.
It's gonna add to the trauma because it reminded me Amazing. Of previous trauma. So Lahaba says 2 things in chapter 79 that remind me of 2 characters. So one quote from Lahaba is she says, "Let the world know my first act of freedom was to help my friends." That mm-hmm. one reminded me of Dorian whenever he says, "It's not so hard to die for one's friends, is it?"
Yep.
That reminded me of that one. And then of course the iconic line that Lahaba says is, "My friends are with me and I am not afraid." Of course, reminds everyone of sweet baby boy Sam Cortland whenever he says, "My name is Sam Cortland, and I'm not afraid." And when I say that this audio haunted me, like, as soon as I finished Assassin's Blade, throughout the whole entire time I was reading Throne of Glass till after, like, maybe a month or two after Kingdom of Ash, every mm-hmm. time I opened Instagram or TikTok, there would always, at least once a day, be someone who made a video with the audio My name is Sam Cortland, I will not be afraid. But it gets worse because the audio starts with, my name is Sam Cortland and I will not be afraid. And then it's essentially his time being tortured. So every time it's him breaking down more and more until the last time ends with, my name is Sam Cortland, and it just stops. And he's like, you can hear it in his voice. It's been 0 days since I've cried over Sam Cortland, okay? There's not a day that goes by that I do not think of Sam Cortland.
That's me with Ahava, dude. There's not a day that I don't talk about her.
But, like, a little fun thing, if we want to end on a fun note.
Yes, please end on a positive. I can't go on.
You always gotta end with a positive. So, on chapter 78, whenever Bryce is pulling books, hoping that one of them will help her, we do get some fun nods to the other two series mm-hmm. that Sarah has written. So we have The Walking Dead, which is a book from Throne of Glass that Selena, Aelin, Dorian all use. And then we also have The Book of Breathings, which is the book that Feyre and Rhysand are after. Or I think that's the one that Feyre and Amarin go specifically to the island before mm-hmm. they get almost drowned.
Yeah. I think so.
So that's
That is fun. I do like little nods to other series. I do love that. Ugh, what a day. What an episode. That was wild. What a wild ride.
I didn't like it.
I had a good time but also a bad time.
Again, Sarah. Don't call
Sarah
me.
Why?
Don't come by my house.
Don't come by my house. Don't call me. Don't even think about me. Bring Lahaba back.
Yeah, I was really hoping it would be like Olaf, where it's like Olaf is gone, but then it's like, oh,
yes,
make him back.
He's actually brought back to life.
Yeah, I was hoping someone could just like light a match and be like, oh, or kind of like with baby Groot, like Groot, adult Groot,
he goes and resparks.
Exactly, just how like have a little match. It's like, oh, baby Lahaba.
Baby, she's so small. She's so teeny.
And that'd be so cute.
And eventually she'll go into a big fire sprite.
And then we could even have like a whole teenage Lahaba phase.
Oh my god. The world.
Teenage Lahaba would be.
A teenage Lahaba.
Listen, throw teenage Lahaba and teenage Andarna in a room. Chaos.
Oh, it'd be too much. I'm here for it. Amazing. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. That was a wild ride. Thank you for listening to the Goodish Girls, guys. My name is Dallas.
I'm sad, but I'm also Madison.
I'm sad and I'm Madison. Can't get enough of the Goodish Girls? Follow us on social media for sneak peeks at our upcoming episodes and bonus content.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.